Judgment. Introduction. The end times are a time of lawlessness, and the Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness. We have criminals who are allowed to commit crimes without consequence, while those sentenced to death remain untouched in prisons for their lifetimes. Our society does not know or recognize judgment or justice. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The lack of judgment and justice is one of the reasons that Jesus will return to the earth, and at that time, he will personally render judgment, vengeance, and wrath against evildoers. Isaiah 59 verses 14-18, justice, judgment, is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So, truth fails, the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay. The judgment of God can be ignored by man in this life, but it is inevitable, God's justice will be satisfied. We do well to understand and inform others that each person will stand before the great judge, and our only hope is to trust in Christ's sacrifice for our sins for forgiveness, mercy, and his undeserved love. God's judgment is vast and surpasses human comprehension, but grasping the basics will impact our lives and transform our character to be more like Jesus as we walk with carefulness and purpose in the light of eternity. Judgment attitudes. First of all, the judgment of God is divinely orchestrated and beyond human comprehension, and should not be confused with being judgmental, which is human, flawed, and sinful. Usually, when we think about judgment, the idea of finger-pointing, condemnation, and guilt comes to mind. People who are self-righteous and judgmental have misrepresented God and how he judges. Having a holier-than-thou attitude that condemns others without mercy is not the right spirit. And on the other hand, to excuse sin is like ignoring a cancerous growth that can lead to death. We need to have the right balance in our understanding of God's judgment. Usually, we don't associate love with judgment, but there is a strong correlation between the two. When a society judges a savage murderer as worthy of the death penalty, you can accuse them of acting in vengeance and wrath, or you could say they love their community enough to protect their people from a dangerous monster. Similarly, God must judge every person, separating the righteous from the wicked, or there could be no heaven, which is also why he created a jail for sin called hell. That is why Jesus came, to separate his people from the wicked, and take his people to safety. John 9 verse 39, then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, to separate those who believe in me from those who reject me, to declare judgment on those who choose to be separated from God, so that the sightless would see, and those who see would become blind, Amplified Bible. Throughout the Bible, we see that God is a God of separation, infinitely holy, separate from sin, and without equal. Beginning on the first day of creation, God separated the light from darkness, and on day two, he separated the firmament, heavens, from the waters. Waters, Gen 1:3-8. The first step we take to give our lives to God is to separate from the darkness and come into the light. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is the supreme judge, and judgment is part of his character, along with his holiness, righteousness, justice, wisdom, knowledge, and other attributes. Seemingly opposite aspects of God's character are a counterbalance of each other, goodness and severity, love and hate, forgiveness and judgment. Deuteronomy 32 verses 3-4, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Romans 11 verse 22, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God, on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. God is love, and he is also absolutely holy, and just and cannot tolerate sin. Therefore, judgment is a righteous consequence of his character. To abide with a holy God, we must be separate from sin, be honest, and discern the difference between right and wrong. Philippians 1 verses 9-10, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Borrowing from a few different translations, NIVI, BBE, WNT, of that verse, we get a better picture of God's love and judgment. And this I pray, that your love may abound, increasing in clear knowledge, with keen perception for testing things that differ with a depth of insight and judgment, so that you may be men of transparent character and may be able to discern what is best and true. God is a Father, and his holy character requires holiness, separation from sin, in his children. When we sin, his judgment will follow with a good spanking for his children. Unlike earthly fathers who discipline out of anger, God's corrective discipline is always because he loves us and for our good, leading us to repentance, restoration, and the formation of our character. Hebrews 12 verses 5-11, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Judging ourselves. As those verses implied, if we refuse to obey him, we prove that we are not his children. And if we remain unrepentant, we judge ourselves unworthy of him, with eternal consequences. But we don't have to wait for the final judgment to deal with our sin. We can proactively judge ourselves and ask God to forgive us immediately after sinning. Acts 13 verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 28-34, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, dead. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. Psalms 32 verse 5, Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. 1 John 1 verses 7 to 9, But if we walk in the light, confessing our sins to God, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. One of the core concepts of the Christian faith is that God will judge everyone, but he also offers forgiveness, which should produce reverence, respect, and the fear of God in our lives. Hebrews 9 verse 27, Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Hebrews 6 verses 1 to 2, Therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Ecclesiastes 12 verses 13 to 14, Now all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Judge of all. God is the judge of all in heaven and earth. God will judge Satan and all the fallen angels, as well as every human being. Unlike earthly judges who can be corrupt, God is no respecter of persons, and all his judgments are righteous and justified. Psalms 19 verse 9, The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Hebrews 12 verse 23, To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. God the Father has given all judgment to God the Son, Jesus Christ. Because he never sinned, he conquered sin, death, and defeated the devil, Jesus has all power and authority to judge all things in heaven and earth. John 5 verses 22 to 30, Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. By myself I can do nothing, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. No one will have any excuses before Jesus. He went through every kind of situation and temptations, but did not sin. He felt hunger and pain, and was acquainted with sorrow and grief, was betrayed and rejected, he was persecuted and beaten, mocked and spit on, was unjustly sentenced to death, he took 39 lashes with a barbed whip, and was left to bleed to death hanging on a cross. Yet, he never sinned. Yes, he is worthy to judge. Hebrews 4 verses 14 to 16, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Judging intentions and motives. The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus to have spiritual discernment and insight, not being guided by outward appearances and what he saw and heard, but he judged righteously in the Spirit. Isaiah 11 verses 1 to 4, And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. We just read that Jesus was quick of understanding, or an alternate translation would be quick of smell or discernment. We can understand how to discern things spiritually with the following example. When you wake up in the morning, you smell a strong aroma of coffee coming from the kitchen, but how do you know it was coffee? Do you have to go to the other side of the house, go into the kitchen and look inside the coffee pot to prove that coffee was making that smell? No, you discerned the smell of coffee and recognized it immediately without seeing it, even from the other side of the house. In the same way, Jesus was quick to discern different spirits, motives, sins, and other factors that were not seen or heard outwardly. Matthew 9 verses 2-4, then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" Luke 16 verse 15, he said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Luke 6 verses 6-8. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So, he got up and stood there. Judging others. Jesus is our example, and he taught us about righteous judgment. The first thing we notice is that Jesus discouraged us from judging and condemning others. If we are judgmental of others, our criticisms will be reversed and turned against us as our judge, exposing our hypocrisy. John 7 verse 24, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Romans 2 verses 1-3, "You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So, when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Matthew 7 verses 1-2, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Luke 6 verses 36-37, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." John 8 verses 15-16, "You judge by human standards, I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father, who sent me." If we do not want to be judged by God and want God to show mercy to us, we need to show mercy to others. If we refuse to show mercy to others, we can forget about receiving mercy from God for ourselves. Matthew 18 verses 22-35. Jonah 2 verses 7-8. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple." They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Micah 6 verse 8, "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." James 2 verses 12-13, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who is shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. judged by exposing sin. From the beginning with Adam and Eve, people have tried to hide their sins from God. We can't hide sin from God, and He has many ways to expose our sins and bring them out into the open. Hiding sin is a sin, and God will not tolerate it. John 3 verses 9 to 21, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 24 to 25, but if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So, he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Acts 5 verses 3 to 5, then Peter said, Ananias, a church member, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Joshua 7 verses 11 to 21, God speaking to Joshua, Israel has sinned, they have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things, they have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done, do not hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent, with the silver underneath. Judged by our own words. David committed adultery and arranged the murder of the woman's husband, and then tried to hide it. David thought he had gotten away with murder until the prophet Nathan showed up. Nathan asked David to give his judgment on an upsetting situation. The story greatly angered David, and he pronounced judgment on the supposed offender of the story without realizing that he was judging himself with his own words. 2 Samuel 12 verses 1 to 7, the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Although David unknowingly pronounced the death penalty against himself, he was very remorseful, profoundly repented, and even published a song about his repentance. Seeing David's repentance, God granted him forgiveness. 2 Samuel 12 verse 13, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. However, David did not escape judgment altogether and suffered many severe consequences. The same sins committed by David became his judgments, and his children repeated his sins against him and each other. David had many children, but we will focus on three, the oldest son Amnon, and from a different mother, he had Absalom and his sister Tamar. The judgment played out as follows: Amnon raped Tamar, then Absalom killed Amnon in revenge. Later Absalom had a coup against David and slept with David's concubines, and then Absalom got killed during the coup. And you thought you had family problems? The whole mess only shows how the consequences that follow us are a type of self-inflicted judgment. You will reap what you have sown, and here Nathan lays out the chain reaction set off by David's sin. 2 Samuel 12 verses 10-12, Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says, out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, his son Absalom, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. We must be careful about all our words, because life and death are in the power of the tongue, and for every word we speak, we will give account for in the courtroom of heaven. Matthew 12 verses 36-37, But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 18 verse 21, Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James 3 verses 2-6, We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The children of Israel had a bad habit of murmuring and complaining, which doomed an entire generation. The parents complained that their children would die in the wilderness before reaching the promised land. But guess what happened? The complainers died, and the innocent children lived and entered the promised land. Numbers 14:28-32, So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb son of Jephunneh and Joshua son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But your bodies will fall in this desert. God has called us to be separate and holy, and we should never let anything ungodly or unwholesome come out of our mouths or give an ear to any filthy jokes, dirty talk, cursing, gossip, slander, and so forth. Ephesians 5 verses 3-6, But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person such a man is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. 1 Timothy 5 verses 13-15, Besides, they, speaking of young widows, get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So, I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. Judged by the Word of God. We are accountable for what we know of the Word of God, the same Word that causes us to be born again, feeds us with spiritual milk, meat, and bread is the very Word that tests, judges, and exposes our thoughts and attitudes. Hebrews 4 verse 12, For the Word of God, Jesus, is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. PS 105:17-19, He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters, he was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. John 12:47-48, And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me, and does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. When judged by the word, it can be by either the written or the spoken word of God. The written word of God plays an essential part in our spiritual lives in many ways, and we are required to put into practice what we know. Our response to the word of God determines how we live and our judgment. James 1:21-25, Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Matthew 7:24-27, Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Acts 13:46, Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. 2 Peter 3:5-7, But they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. There are times that God will use people to speak to us through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and both the speaker and the listener are accountable to God. Jeremiah 23:26-32, The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Says the Lord. Therefore behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words everyone from his neighbor. Who use their tongues and say, He, God, says, yet I did not send them or command them. 1 Corinthians 9:16-17, Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward; if not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. 1 Timothy 4:13-16, Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Judged by a prophetic word. By the word of the Lord, people can receive warnings to avoid disaster and receive guidance, or sometimes to deliver a message of judgment in this life. In the case of Ahab and Jezebel, they murdered a man and stole his vineyard. God spoke to Elijah to deliver his sentence of judgment against the ungodly pair and gave specific details. 1 Kings 21 verses 17 to 23, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, go down to meet Ahab king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, or he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says, have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says, in the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood, yes, yours. Concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Later Jezebel threatened to kill Elijah, and he ran away in fear and discouragement. But God spoke to Elijah and gave him a mission that would play a crucial role in fulfilling the judgment against Ahab. God sent Elijah to anoint Jehu to be Ahab's successor and executioner. 1 Kings 19 verse 16, also, anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Once Jehu was anointed to be king of Israel, he wasted no time bringing the word of the Lord by Elijah to fulfillment. Jehu furiously drove his chariot after Ahab and put an arrow through Ahab's heart, and then he used his horse to trample Jezebel to pieces. 2 Kings 9 verses 25 to 26, Jehu said to Bidkar, his chariot officer, pick him up and throw him on the field that belonged to Naboth the Jezreelite. Remember how you and I were riding together in chariots behind Ahab his father when the Lord made this prophecy about him. Yesterday I saw the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, declares the Lord, and I will surely make you pay for it on this plot of ground, declares the Lord. Now then, pick him up and throw him on that plot, in accordance with the word of the Lord. 2 Kings 9 verses 34 to 36, Jehu went in and ate and drank. Take care of that cursed woman, Jezebel, he said, and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. But when they went out to bury her, they found nothing except her skull, her feet, and her hands. They went back and told Jehu, who said, this is the word of the Lord that he spoke through his servant Elijah the Tishbite, on the plot of ground at Jezreel dogs will devour Jezebel's flesh. Judged by our knowledge. If we sin in our ignorance of God, it is still sin. But probably the worst sin is one we willfully commit while knowing it is wrong, which produces a type of guilt or self-condemnation. Also, if we are obligated to do something godly, but we don't do it, we are guilty of neglect and accountable for it. The greater our knowledge of God, His will, and His purposes, the more we will be held to a higher standard of judgment. Hebrews 10 verses 26 to 31, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Acts 17 verses 30-31, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Luke 12 verses 47-48, and that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. 1 Samuel 3 verses 13-14, For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Judgment on sexual and other immorality. We are accountable for everything we have done with our bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because God created us in His image, if we sin against our bodies by disfigurement, immorality, or perversion, we defile the temple of God and bring disgrace to His image and His name. In return, we bring shame and guilt upon ourselves at the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 18-19, Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9-10, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 16-17, Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Galatians 5 verses 19-21, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Judgment on leaders. Those in the greatest peril of judgment will be the religious teachers and leaders because they are responsible for their influence on other people. Ministers, pastors, and teachers who abused their position for riches, power, or other wrong motives have a more strict and severe judgment before God. James 3 verse 1, Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. New International Version. James 3 verse 1, Do not be eager, my brethren, for many among you to become teachers, for you know that we teachers shall undergo severe judgment. Weymouth New Testament. The worst opposition Jesus faced came from the religious leaders, as they followed, harassed, spoke against him, and had him killed. Bad religious leaders have been around as long as the devil, always opposing the truth, quenching and resisting the Holy Spirit, but in the end, they will stand in judgment for their deeds. Matthew 23 verses 13-15, But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Matthew 7 verses 21-23, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. 2 Peter 2 verses 1-3, But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Galatians 1 verses 7-9, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Judgment by the church. The church should be competent to judge itself, because the saints will judge the world and angels in the future. Everybody in the church is accountable for their actions, and the unrepentant are subject to church discipline. That would include preachers, singers, and elders, and they should not have access to any pulpit, stage, podcast, or ministry until they have been restored to God, right the wrongs, and maintained a good testimony. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 1-6, If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. Matthew 18 verses 15-17, If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. 1 Corinthians 5 verses 1-6, It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. And I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Judgment begins at God's house. Judgment begins with God's people, and those who claim to represent God have a higher standard of morality than the ungodly. There will be severe punishments on groups, denominations, and independent churches that go into apostasy, backsliding, error. Following a crowd does not give a free pass from judgment. We judge ourselves by the affiliations we keep. We are responsible for following the truth and getting out of false or sinful religious organizations. Birds of a feather flock together. Revelation 18 verses 2-4, And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a bird cage for every unclean and hated bird. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. 1 Peter 4 verses 17-18, For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey? Obey not the gospel of God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Jude 1 verses 5-6, I desire to remind you, although the whole matter is already familiar to you, that the Lord saved a people out of the land of Egypt, but afterwards destroyed those who had no faith. And angels those who did not keep the position originally assigned to them, but deserted their own proper abode he reserves in everlasting bonds, in darkness, in preparation for the judgment of the great day. Ezekiel 9 verse 6, Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So, they began with the elders who were before the temple. Judged by creation. You may be thinking, if someone has never heard preaching in their life, then how could God judge them? Nobody can use that excuse, because all creation is shouting about the Creator. Everything in creation proves intelligent design and exhibits irrefutable evidence for God. From the smallest atom to the biggest star, everything has a complex structure of atoms and a DNA code, making it impossible for the universe to exist by accident. The evidence for God in creation is so convincing that to reject it, you would have to be intellectually dishonest, have a hardened heart, or have a mind blinded by Satan. Psalms 19 verses 1-4. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun. Romans 10 verses 14-18, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, except they be sent? But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Romans 1 verses 18-20, For God's anger is being revealed from heaven against all impiety and against the iniquity of men who through iniquity suppress the truth. God is angry, because what may be known about him is plain to their inmost consciousness, for he himself has made it plain to them. For, from the very creation of the world, his invisible perfections, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been rendered intelligible and clearly visible by his works, creation, so that these men are without excuse. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 3-4, And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Judged by conscience. Even small children are born with the ability to know right from wrong. Our conscience is a sensitive tool designed to help us in our relationship with God. But every time we go against our conscience, we damage it. Our conscience can get to the point that it can no longer function, and we can lose the sense of guilt for doing wrong. Our conscience records everything like a body camera, including the audio, video, and every thought and motive as it happens. Everything from our lives will be on display before the throne of God, and we will give an account for everything. Every thought will be a witness, and our conscience will either condemn us or justify us. Romans 2 verses 14-15, For when Gentiles who have no law obey by natural instinct the commands of the law, they, without having a law, are a law to themselves, since they exhibit proof that a knowledge of the conduct which the law requires is engraved on their hearts, while their consciences also bear witness to the law, and their thoughts, as if in mutual discussion, accuse them or perhaps maintain their innocence. 1 Timothy 1 verses 19 to 20, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. 1 Samuel 24 verses 5 to 6, afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2, "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 to 2, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron." Judgment of the Watchman. We are responsible for what we know, both for ourselves and to give warnings to others when we see that destruction or judgment is coming. We are our brother's keepers, and we cannot allow others to blindly walk into harm's way without warning them, whether in this life or heading into eternity. If we are silent and watch others heading toward danger without speaking up and warning them, we will be held accountable. But, if we give a warning and people ignore it, they are responsible for their decisions, have been cleared of our obligation as a watchman, and will not be judged for being silent. Ezekiel 33 verses 7 to 9, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me when I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die.' And you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." Judged by the law. Many people think that by keeping the Ten Commandments or being good, they can be righteous before God. On the contrary, the law condemns everyone and makes us guilty before God. There is only one person who could fulfill the law, live a perfect life of obedience, and satisfy the righteous judgment of God, and that was Jesus Christ. Salvation is the gift of God by faith in Christ, and He alone can save us from the condemnation of the law. Romans 3 verses 19 to 20, "Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Galatians 3 verse 24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Romans 4 verses 13 to 16, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Judgment by association. They say you can tell who a person is by the company they keep. To take that thought a step further, the customs, ideologies, and philosophies we endorse show which camp we are in, God's or the devil's. Even if a person does not participate in the evil deeds of others, but they are silent or condone those actions, they are just as guilty as the wrongdoers by association. Romans 1 verse 32, Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. 1 John 3 verses 8-10, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who was born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. John 8 verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The teachers and Pharisees were always trying to trap Jesus with questions. But Jesus shredded them with their own words, and he used their words to show that they condoned the sins of the past, and by their association with the criminal act, they were as guilty as the original offenders. Matthew 23 verses 29-35, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So, you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of the sin of your forefathers. You snakes! You brood of vipers! How will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify, others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. The ultimate sin of association comes from our sinful nature, which we inherited by Adam's sin and passed to everyone through our DNA at birth, making everyone a sinner and guilty before God. But our association with the sacrifice of Christ by faith saves us from the guilt of our sin and makes us righteous before God. Romans 5 verses 17-18, For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Judgment by comparisons. Jesus made comparisons between different cities and people groups regarding judgment. God will contrast the testimony of people from various times, places, and similar circumstances to compare how they reacted to determine their guilt or innocence. Matthew 12 verse 27, And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Matthew 12 verses 41-42, The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. Matthew 11 verses 20-24, Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes, but I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Judgments against nations. We can look at the life of David to see how God uses judgments to deal with a nation. After a life of hardships and warfare, David finally had peace from all his enemies. Then Satan inspired him to number the people, which angered God, resulting in judgment. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. God sent a prophet to David and told him to choose one of three different judgments and let him make his choice. These options typify how God may judge a nation by sending famines, plagues, enemies, and all kinds of natural catastrophes like droughts, floods, and earthquakes. 1 Chronicles 21 verses 9-14, the Lord said to Gad, David's seer, go and tell David, this is what the Lord says, I am giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you. So, Gad went to David and said to him, this is what the Lord says, take your choice, 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies, with their swords overtaking you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, days of plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord ravaging every part of Israel. Now then, decide how I should answer the one who sent me. David said to Gad, I am in deep distress. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but do not let me fall into the hands of men. So, the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. Another example of national sins, resulting in natural disasters, happened in the reign of David. Israel had been experiencing a famine for 3 years, so David prayed to the Lord, and the Lord showed him the problem. The children of Israel had a covenant of peace with the Gibeonites since Joshua's time, and King Saul tried to exterminate them in violation of the covenant. Therefore, Israel was judged by famine. 2 Samuel 21 verse 1, during the reign of David, there was a famine for 3 successive years, so, David sought the face of the Lord. The Lord said, it is on account of Saul and his bloodstained house, it is because he put the Gibeonites to death. When David asked the Gibeonites how he could make restitution, they wanted the execution of 7 sons of King Saul. David accepted their request and sent for 7 of Saul's descendants. 2 Samuel 21 verse 6, let 7 of his male descendants be given to us to be killed and exposed before the Lord at Gibeah of Saul, the Lord's chosen one. So, the king said, I will give them to you. This judgment turns out to be a multiple judgment, dealt with one stroke. First, there was the judgment of famine. Second, in the following verses, you will notice that Saul's daughter Merab was the mother of 5 sons given for death to make restitution. There is some background to that verse. Saul had offered his daughter Merab in marriage to David on the condition that he would fight the Philistines for Saul, hoping the Philistines would kill David. Later, Saul lied and gave Merab to another man in marriage, and she had 5 sons by that other man, 1 Sam 18:17-19. But in the end, Merab's 5 sons had to be executed as part of the restitution agreement with the Gibeonites. 2 Samuel 21 verse 8, but the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, the 2 sons of Aiah's daughter Rizpah, whom she had borne to Saul, together with the 5 sons of Saul's daughter Merab, whom she had borne to Adriel son of Barzillai the Mehalathite. Neve. Here is the third judgment, but it has a little bit of a twist in the story. Saul wanted to have David killed, so he hatched a plot to have the Philistines kill David. Saul offered his daughter Michal to David in marriage if David would pay a wedding dowry of 100 Philistine foreskins, thinking the Philistines would kill David in battle. David killed 200 Philistines and paid the dowry to Saul, 1 Sam 18:20-28. But again, Saul tried to kill David, and he fled for his life. Then for a second time, Saul took his daughter away from David, and he gave Michal to another man, 1 Samuel 25:44. Then after some years, Saul died, then David took Michal back from the man she married, and David remarried her, 2 Samuel 3:13-14. Then when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, Michal saw David dancing and spinning with all his might before the Lord, and she bitterly criticized him. David responded to Michal's nagging by leaving her as a barren woman for all her days, 2 Samuel 6:20-23. Here's the twist in the story. It is apparent that Merab had died before the Gibeonite incident, and her sister Michal had adopted her 5 sons. So, the scorned barren wife Michal finally had a hope of mothering children, but not for long. The price for reconciliation with the Gibeonites required the lives of those 5 boys, and she remained barren and without children all her days, 2 Samuel 6:23. So, Saul's murders of the Gibeonites, his lies, giving Merab and Michal to others, Michal's criticisms, and her barrenness had all been judged, found guilty, and punished with one stroke. 2 Samuel 21:8, so the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, the 2 sons of Rizpah the daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, and the 5 sons of Michal the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel the son of Barzillai the Mahalathite, and Kejavi. Whenever any country displeases God for any reason, he may send enemies to fight and conquer them. All the nations of the world will do God's bidding and execute his judgments, whether they realize it or not. 2 Kings 24:2-3, the Lord sent Babylonian, Aramean, Moabite and Ammonite raiders against him. He sent them to destroy Judah, in accordance with the word of the Lord proclaimed by his servants the prophets. Surely these things happened to Judah according to the Lord's command, in order to remove them from his presence because of the sins of Manasseh and all he had done. When Moses confronted the Egyptian Pharaoh to release the Israelis from slavery, God sent 10 plagues in judgment on the gods the Egyptians worshipped. God sent plagues against the Nile, snakes, frogs, flies, gnats, hail, locust, darkness, thunder, and the killing of the firstborn children and cattle. 12:12, on that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Judgment and resurrections. Now we come to the judgments that happen at the resurrections, and these two go hand in hand, and you can't look at one without seeing the other. There are different opinions about the timelines or how the judgment happens. Let's look at 2 of the most popular viewpoints. And note that only God knows the exact details of the future, and therefore we may speculate on some areas based on assumptions or likely scenarios. One view holds that judgment is a one-time event for everybody that will happen at the end of time, with God separating the righteous from the wicked and then judging everyone individually. They view the judgment seat of Christ, the throne of glory, and the great white throne as the same event, holding to a single judgment day. The other view is that there will be 2 main times of judgment, starting with the rapture of the church, the 2 witnesses, and the martyrs, which go before the judgment seat of Christ to determine rewards and eternal inheritance until the second coming. At the second coming, Christ will sit on the throne of his glory to judge who will enter the kingdom and who will go to hell, which completes the first resurrection and judgment. After 1,000 years, when time is no more, every sinner who has ever lived will be brought from death and hell to stand before the great white throne in judgment. Their judgment determines their punishment, and they will have their part in the resurrection of condemnation in the lake of fire, which is the final judgment called the second death. Revelation 20:5-6, but the rest of the dead lives not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. It is appointed for men to die once, then the judgment. In a sense, we are prejudged, because we go to either paradise or hell to wait for our resurrection, and the results of each person's judgment will determine their eternal rewards or punishment. John 5 verses 28-29, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. Judgment of rewards. God is a rewarder of those who seek him, and from the rapture of the church to the second coming, God will determine the rewards for the faithful. Each saint will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and their works will pass through the fires of testing to determine what was approved by God and what was not. First, at the rapture, the church will be resurrected, judged, and rewarded, and then the process repeats for the two witnesses, tribulation martyrs, and the Old Testament saints. These resurrections and rewards are called the first resurrection and are only for believers. More details about eternal rewards are in the resurrection study. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Judgment during the tribulation. During the tribulation, there will be a fake church that will be the harlot bride of the Antichrist. This state-run global religion is a demonic system that controls through sorcery, deception, persecution, and is drunk on the blood of the saints. Revelation 17:3-6, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. The harlot church gained power through a global coalition with the Antichrist, the beast, and 10 world leaders, 10 horns. These leaders hate the harlot and destroy her, and her judgment is double that of what she dished out, coming with fire, torment, sorrow, plagues, mourning, famine, and death in one day and hour. Revelation 17:16, and the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Revelation 18:6-10, render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, in the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow therefore, her plagues will come in one day death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Kings of the earth, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city! For in one hour your judgment has come. The Antichrist and false prophet will unleash hell on earth and kill multitudes of saints and sinners. The Antichrist will go into the temple of God in Jerusalem and declares himself a god. Then he will set up an image of himself and demand that everyone worship his image, take his mark, or get killed. Those who seek to save their lives by bowing to the image, accepting the mark, receiving the number of his name 666, will automatically be judged guilty and sent to hell. Revelation 13:7-17, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 14 verses 9-11, Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. The judgment on those with the mark of the beast begins while they are still alive, plagued with ugly and painful sores breaking out on their skin, possibly spreading from the mark on their hands and foreheads. Revelation 16 verses 1-2, Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. When God has finished using the Antichrist and false prophet for his purposes, they are captured, judged, and sent alive into the lake of fire. They are the first inhabitants of the lake of fire, and after 1,000 years, others will join them. Revelation 19 verse 20, Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Judgments at Armageddon. The world's armies will surround and attack Jerusalem, and Christ will return in the second coming to judge the nations with fire, a sword, and a great army of resurrected saints and angels behind him. Christ's appearance will bring a rapid end to the worst time of human suffering in the history of the world, Matthew 24 verse 21, where a massive portion of the world's population will die. The judgment for all those who fight against Jerusalem is that their eyes will dissolve in the sockets, their tongue and flesh will dissolve, and the blood from this battle will stretch for 200 miles and be about 5 feet deep in places. Revelation 16 verse 16, And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew, Armageddon. Jude 1 verses 14-15, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone, and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and of a backslash all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Isaiah 66 verses 15-16, For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots, like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Zechariah 14 verses 1-14, Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, and the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light, the lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be dash, the Lord is one, and his name one. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem, their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet, their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. Isaiah 63 verses 1 to 4, Who is this who comes from Edom, with dyed garments from Bozrah, this one who was glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? Dash I who speak in righteousness, Christ, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red, and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger, and trampled them in my fury, their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. Revelation 14 verses 10 to 20, The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress, up to the horses' bridles, 5 feet, for 1,600 furlongs, 200 miles. 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 6 to 9, God is just, he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Revelation 6 verses 15 to 17, And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Judgment at Throne of Glory. During the tribulation, many judgments will occur, which will kill multitudes with plagues, famines, martyrdom, war, and by the end of Armageddon, only a remnant of believers will survive. Matthew 24 verse 21, For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake those days will be shortened. Romans 9 verses 28 to 29, For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah said previously, Unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah, 3 survivors. New International Version. When Christ comes at the second coming, he will gather the nations to the valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment, and he will sit on the throne of his glory. First, he divides the people into two groups, herding the good to one side and the bad to the other, like a shepherd with the sheep and the goats. Christ will judge each one individually, and he will purge all evil from the kingdom. Matthew 25 verses 31 to 41, When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Ezekiel 34 verses 1 to 31, And as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats, between the righteous and the unrighteous. I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be prey, and I will judge between one sheep, ungodly, and another, godly, they will no longer be prey to the nations, and the predators of the earth will not devour them, but they will live safely, and no one will make them afraid, in the day of the Messiah's reign. Amplified Version. Joel 3 verses 2 to 14, I will also gather all nations, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, they have also divided up my land. Let the nations be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. His judgments of the nations, sheep and goats, are determined by how they treated his brethren, especially during the tribulation, that would be the martyrs and the Jews. Those who gave aid and assistance to his brethren will be judged, approved, and welcomed into the kingdom. Matthew 25 verses 31-41, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for I was hungry, and you gave me food, I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, I was a stranger, and you took me in, I was naked, and you clothed me, I was sick, and you visited me, I was in prison, and you came to me. And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. On the other, left, hand, the goats will be the nations that went to war against the Jews, ignored the persecution of the Jews, and failed to offer them any help during the tribulation. They will be judged and sent to hell. Jesus said that all sinners had been taken away in the judgment of Noah's time, relating how all sinners will be taken away in the coming judgment and the vultures will eat their bodies. Matthew 25 verses 41-46, Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Ezekiel 20 verses 37-38, I will make you pass under the rod, as the shepherd does with his sheep when he counts them, and I will count you as mine and constrain you, and bring you into the bond of the covenant, to which you are permanently bound. 38 And I will separate from you the rebels and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they temporarily live, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus, you will know, without any doubt, that I am the Lord. Also, Leviticus 27:32. Luke 17 verses 34-37, I tell you, on that night, when Messiah comes again, there will be two, sleeping, in one bed, the one, the non-believer, will be taken away in judgment, and the other, the believer, will be left. 35 There will be two women grinding, at the mill, together, the one, the non-believer, will be taken away in judgment, and the other, the believer, will be left. 36 Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other will be left. 37 And they asked him, Where, Lord? He answered, Where the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered. Amp. Revelation 19 verses 17-18, Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. Matthew 24 verses 37-39, But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be, 8 survivors out of possibly 2 billion people. Matthew 13 verses 41-42, The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. judgment during the millennium. Christ will rule, judge, the nations with a rod of iron during the millennium, and the church will rule and reign with him. Jesus promised the overcomers in the church that they also would rule the nations with a rod of iron. Psalm 2 verses 6 to 8, Yet I have set my king, speaking of Christ, on my holy hill of Zion. Jerusalem, I will declare the decree, the Lord has said to me, You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Revelation 2 verses 26 to 27, And he who overcomes, speaking to the church, and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. Revelation 20 verse 4, And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 2 to 3, Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more, things that pertain to this life? In the resurrection, we will be like the angels of God, and we will function and serve God in the same ways that angels serve God. During John's vision in the book of Revelation, twice John fell at the feet of an angel to worship, only to find out that it wasn't an angel, it was a fellow servant, and of his brethren the prophets. The word angel means messenger, and we will be God's messengers with duties and responsibilities in the millennium and eternity. Matthew 22 verse 30, For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Revelation 22 verse 3, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Revelation 19 verse 10, And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hebrews 13 verse 2, Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Revelation 22 verses 8 to 9, Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Jesus told the apostles that he would be sitting on the throne of glory, judgment of sheep and goats, while the apostles would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel in the millennial kingdom. Christ will delegate rulership authority to each disciple to rule during the millennium and eternity. Matthew 19 verses 27 to 29, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and followed thee, what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. With all that in mind, in the following verses, we see how those who were faithful receive rewards of rulership over multiple cities, similar to how the 12 apostles will rule over the 12 tribes. God judges each person's trustworthiness and faithfulness faithfulness and delegates rulership accordingly, which could apply to both the resurrected saints and the kingdom citizens during the millennium. Luke 19 verses 12 to 27, "Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So, he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, to whom he had given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Take note in the following verses that the unfaithful servant had his reward stripped away from him without being physically punished. He lost his crown, squandered his opportunities, was empty-handed, but he survived the fires of testing. On the contrary, King Jesus will have the rebels, goats, who rejected his reign and refused to submit to his authority, brought before him and killed. Luke 19 verses 12 to 27, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you, that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine, the goats, who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Matthew 13 verses 11 to 12, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 11 to 15. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Matthew had a different take than Luke, adding that the unprofitable servant should be cast into outer darkness, showing that he was an unbeliever. That should keep us on our toes and not take salvation for granted. Either way, Christ will judge between the righteous from the wicked. Matthew 25 verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Christ will establish his government with justice, Isaiah 9:6-7, and people will have a lifestyle of peace, health, and abundance, living in a world that has become like the Garden of Eden, and it will be like heaven on earth. There will be no idolatry, no false religions, and Satan will be bound. With Christ, the Messiah ruling the nations, there will be a return to the Jewish laws and priesthood, animal sacrifices, and observance of the feasts of the Lord. All the nations will be required to attend the festivals in Jerusalem or face judgments like drought. Zechariah 14 verses 16 to 17, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Isaiah 66 verses 23 to 24, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. From the start of the millennium, the earth and all things will be restored, like the Garden of Eden, which includes the physical health and longevity of the people. The people will live very long lives, possibly for 1,000 years. Those who sin face strict judgment and even death, and if they die at the young age of 100, they are considered cursed, unsaved, and an unbeliever. Isaiah 65 verse 20, no more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Judgment at the end of time. Salvation is always by faith, and children born to the sheep, believers, are unbelievers unless they come to saving faith in Christ for themselves. These unbelievers live in a paradise much like the Garden of Eden, but they still have Adam's sinful nature. And after Satan's release from the pit after 1,000 years, he deceives these unbelievers and incites them to attack Jerusalem. The Battle of Gog and Magog brings armies from the four corners of the earth to attack Jerusalem, and God intervenes and sends fire down from heaven and destroys them all. Satan is apprehended at that time and thrown directly into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 verses 7 to 10, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then Christ will call all in the graves to come forth to judgment, and the unbelieving sinners from all ages will stand before the great white throne for judgment, sentencing, and sent to the second death. John 5 verses 25 to 29, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Revelation 20 verses 13 to 15, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. As we just read after the battle of Gog and Magog, fire comes from God and consumes them, and the earth and heavens will flee away. Away, meaning the world and the physical universe will cease to exist. At that juncture, the material universe is gone, replaced by eternal spiritual habitations, and time is no more. 2 Peter 3 verses 7 to 13, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Revelation 20 verse 9, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Matthew 24 verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Isaiah 34 verse 4, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, And the heaven shall be rolled up like a scroll, all their host shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as fruit falling from a fig tree. Judgment at the White Throne. The great white throne draws a stark contrast from other scenes of the glorious heavenly throne with vibrant colors, encircled by rainbows, pavement of gold, layers of brightly colored jewels, the river of life, and choirs of angels and saints praising God. There are only two words written to describe the great white throne, great and white. There is no mention of angelic choirs, no colors, no precious jewels, no gold pavement, no rainbow, only the black and white stark reality of eternal judgment before the Almighty God. It is where every sinner who has ever lived will stand before the Almighty God and look into the eyes of fire and answer for everything they did in their life. Revelation 20 verses 11 to 12, Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Jesus Christ will be sitting on the great white throne judging all of godless humanity, and there will be no excuses before him. Jesus himself experienced hunger, was mocked, beaten, spit on, and crucified in a mock trial, but didn't sin and lived a perfect life. Only the ungodly, self-righteous, hypocrites, and wicked sinners who loved darkness and rejected Christ will stand at this judgment of condemnation. Revelation 20 verses 12 to 15, And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Daniel 7 verses 9 to 10, As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, the hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Revelation 1 verses 13 to 16. One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Judgment by the books. At the great white throne will be a set of books, everyone will be judged, according to what's written in the books. From eternity past, before he created the world, God knew every human who would come into existence, and although everyone has free will to make their own choices, he had foreknowledge of which ones would be righteous and which ones would be wicked. And he wrote a book with the names of all those who would be saved, called the Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of Life validates the salvation of those whose names are in the book. If a person's name is not in the book, they go to the lake of fire. At the great white throne, the Book of Life is open and testifying against those whose names are not in it. There is another set of books, and a book that holds all the information about everybody who has ever lived, or will live, called the Book of Remembrance. These books testify about each person's thoughts, motives, actions, and how they affected others. Revelation 20 verses 12 to 15, And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 13 verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17 verse 8, and those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Malachi 3 verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So, a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Revelation 21 verses 26 to 27, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defile, or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Daniel 7 verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Psalms 139 verses 14 to 16, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you, when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Daniel 12 verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. The following verses say that God may blot out names from the book of life. To blot out means to smear out, obliterate, erase, wipe away. So, this brings up the argument of whether it is possible to lose salvation because only people named in the book of life will inherit eternal life. If a name gets blotted out, they will go to the lake of fire. The Lord, Moses, David, and Jesus all mentioned the threat of having names blotted out of the book of life. Exodus 32 verses 31 to 33, then Moses returned, after the golden calf, to the Lord and said, Oh, these people have committed a great sin, and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Psalm 69 verses 27 to 28 add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. Revelation 3 verse 5, He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. But the books are not opened until the very end, not until the last person has died, exposing the full effect of each person's life on others. It's like the ripples made when you drop a rock in a pond, likewise, the influence of our life will make ripples long after we are gone. The only question is, how wide, how many people, and how far, into the future, do the ripples go? We will use Karl Marx as an example, assuming he never repented. His philosophy of communism is responsible for unspeakable torture, suffering, starvation, and death for untold hundreds of millions of lives. Satan has used the communist philosophy as a weapon to destroy belief in the existence of God and to rob, kill, and destroy everything in its path. His philosophy continues to have a powerful grip over much of the planet. Nothing from Karl Marx's life and legacy will escape judgment, including each minuscule aspect of every life touched by his philosophy. After the last person on earth has died, the accumulated effect of his evil influence can be totaled and calculated, and his punishment will be according to the impact of his works. With the books opened and every second of every life exposed, nothing missed, nothing glossed over, the trials begin. The body camera starts the playback of everything seen, heard, known, thoughts, motives, every printed or spoken word, of everyone impacted by Karl Marx and communism. Hebrews 4 verses 12 to 15, "For the word of God, Christ, is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Everyone who promotes the communist philosophy of Marx will share in his guilt by association. We could also include an endless list of those who condone or benefit from abortion, LGBTQ agenda, political tyranny, slavery, genocide, etc. Anyone who acts as a propagandist, fake news, makes dirty money, condones, or cooperates with ungodly agendas will be held responsible, especially regarding the rising global Antichrist system. Jesus used guilt by association to condemn the Pharisees, Matt 23:30-35, and later Stephen did the same, Acts 7 verses 51-52. We are watchmen and have a responsibility to warn others of danger and resist, restrain, and fight against the dark powers of sin, wickedness, and destruction that will come. While Dietrich Bonhoeffer was resisting the evils of Hitler and the Nazi movement, he said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." God calls us to restrain, hold back, and fight against evil, but to condone, tolerate, or enable sin will bring judgment on ourselves. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." The discernment needed to sort through the web of intertwined lives over the generations, and every motive, every thought, every action, of everyone who has ever lived is far beyond all human comprehension. Only God Almighty can be the judge. Romans 11 verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Judgment of condemnation. The resurrection of condemnation is the time of reckoning, the punishment for every injustice and every evil deed, with no second chances, no forgiveness, no mercy, and no hope of escape. This eternal prison is for those who have rejected God's mercy and forgiveness. Both the surrounding environment and their bodies are filled with unrelenting torment forever, in the place called the second death and the lake of fire. Revelation 20 verses 14 to 15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." John 3 verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." John 5 verse 29, "And come forth those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation." In the second death, unbelievers will have bodies that burn but are not be consumed, unending pain, unquenchable thirst, unrelenting mental anguish, and no hope of ever being released. The worst punishment is for hypocrites and backsliders, whose eternal punishment is according to what they knew, their rejection or perversion of the truth, and the level of their betrayal to Christ. Hebrews 10 verse 29, "How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace?" Matthew 24 verses 50-51, his portion with the hypocrites. "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Luke 12 verses 47-48, "And that servant who knew his master's will, and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Let's look at what's in store for the ungodly that were greedy, lying, stealing, cheating, and abusers for money. The same treasures that they hoarded will torment them, and their gold and silver will eat their flesh like fire for eternity. James 5 verses 1-3, Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. Matthew 6 verse 24, No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Consider Judas Iscariot that betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The memory of his betrayal and greed will haunt him like a burning fire forever. Judas brought a terrible curse upon himself that entered his body and bones, and his shame will cover him like a garment forever. Psalm 109 verses 17-18, As he, Judas, loved cursing, so let it come to him, as he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him, and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. In a final word for those who associate with the prosperity gospel of greed, remember that love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Tim 6:10, and is like leprosy. Look at Gehazi, Elisha's assistant, who should have been Elisha's replacement. But after Naaman's healing from leprosy, he ran after Naaman to get money. When Gehazi returned from taking the money from Naaman, Elisha pronounced a curse on him, and his descendants, greedy people, prophesied that Naaman's leprosy would cling to them forever. He lost his ministry, his health, and his soul for money. We should not run after money or things of this world, but we should run to win Christ. 1 Cr 9:24, Phil 3:14. 2 Kings 5 verses 26-27, Then he said to him, Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow. Jude said that those who loved the darkness and rejected the light will be cast into a thick darkness that can be felt and causes great pain. These fake Christians and fake ministers, having empty promises and trendy teachings, are cut off from Christ and are backslidden, boastful of sin, and have left their calling are reserved for the blackest darkness forever. They will sink deeper and deeper into that darkness and farther from the light forever. Jude 1 verses 12-13, These men are blemishes at your love feasts, fake Christians, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves, fake ministers. They are clouds without rain, empty promises, blown along by the wind, follow trendy teachings, autumn trees, without fruit, cut off from the vine of Christ, and uprooted, tares uprooted from wheat, twice dead, backslidden. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, boastful of their sin, wandering stars, left their calling, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. John 3 verses 19-20, And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Revelation 16 verse 10, Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. Exodus 10 verse 21, And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. In the resurrection of condemnation, Satan and the fallen angels, and those who were the godless rulers and leaders of this life, will have the worst punishment and be in the lowest places in hell. Isaiah 14 verses 9-19, hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations! Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. Judgments beyond comprehension. We barely scratched the surface looking at God's judgment, but the reality is that the subject has no end and goes past our ability to fathom. Maybe it's God's mercy to limit our understanding, so we are only held accountable for what little we do know. Romans 11 verses 33-36, while the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. KJV. Romans 11 verses 33-36, oh, how inexhaustible are God's resources and God's wisdom and God's knowledge. How impossible it is to search into his decrees or trace his footsteps. Who has ever known the mind of the Lord, or shared his counsels? Seeing how sinful and undeserving we are, makes us realize how much we need Christ to save us and have a greater appreciation of God's mercy, forgiveness, and love. That may be the most outstanding mystery of all, how an infinitely holy God could love his enemies, who are so unworthy and sinful. This contrast only serves to magnify and glorify God, his amazing divine character, and the monumental sacrifice he paid to save us. Romans 5 verses 8-10, but God demonstrates his own love toward in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Ephesians 2 verses 4-8, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Colossians 1 verses 21-22, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, and blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The redeemed should be eternally grateful for the sacrifice of the cross, but we should also be watchmen to warn others and do whatever we can to bring souls out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of the gospel. Call to action. We are in the calm before the storm, but times are changing, and overnight our world could be completely different. Bible prophecy tells us that the worst time in human history is rapidly approaching. People will be saying peace and safety, and then sudden destruction will hit. Israel becoming a nation, world wars, global lockdowns, and global food shortages are warnings that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are on their way and getting closer. Now is the time to equip ourselves with the Word of God to share with others before another lockdown or being deplatformed or some other concocted restriction closes the door to our freedom. Like Joseph in Egypt stored grain during the 7 years of plenty so that when the 7 years of famine, 7 year tribulation, came, Egypt had food. Christians will not go through the Great Tribulation but can experience severe persecution before the rapture happens. The institutional church buildings could be locked down or become so perverted and politically woke that all true believers must flee from them. These are the years of plenty, and while we have time and freedom, we need to study the Word of God and share it with others, build fellowship groups of sincere believers, and be the church. This book is part of a set of studies that are essential teachings for followers of Christ. We call it the Toolbox Series because it is designed to make you a tool in the hand of God and provides you the knowledge you need for a scriptural foundation for your faith, while equipping you to share with others. These studies can be a startup kit for a small group Bible study and are downloadable with other resources, and it's free. Freely you have received, freely give. Go to our website.